In every generation, there is a virgin. He alone will watch the vampires, the demons, and the forces of darkness for the first time at least once a week. I am a Buffy virgin. All right, welcome to another episode of Buffy Virgin. I'm Michael, the Buffy Virgin. We are watching Season 2, Episode 6, Halloween, of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We have a lot of guests on today. This is the most packed podcast we've had probably ever. We have Dennis St. John, a cartoonist.
Hey, good to see you. And I brought my friend David Yoder, who's a pop culture cartoonist. He does a movie review in comic form called David and David at the Movies. And you can check out his other comics at davidyoderisawesome.com. And he also was my roommate for like 2 years. So
that is David. All true. Yeah. Am I allowed to talk now?
Yeah, please. Tell us how you were bedfellows.
Dennis is a good guy from Bloomington, Indiana, and that's currently where I'm living. It was just a coincidence. We both went to the same grad school and became really good friends there.
John Landis is also a former Bloomingtonian. So we got Bloomington is totally represented on this podcast.
And there I've been to go. Bloomington at least 4 times. This is Travis. And also Travis is here. And that is everyone. Those are all the voices. 5 male voices. That is all. So David, tell me, have you seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer before?
I have seen the entirety of Buffy, but it was years ago. I started a rewatch maybe a couple years ago, but then I kind of dropped it. I think mid-season one even. I didn't get very far.
Why'd you drop it? What happened mid-season one?
I don't know. There's just so many other shows. I love the show, though. It's a lot of fun, and I have a lot of good memories of watching with like old friends from high school.
I'm getting a lot of those memories now. It's great.
And I think, Yoder, we watched Buffy at least a few times while we lived together.
I'm sure we probably did. I remember coming home from work and catching you in the middle of a horror movie that I didn't really want to see, like Basket Case, and then like ending up watching the entirety of that. But yeah, we probably watched Buffy too.
Yeah, I would torture Yoder with my horror movies, and he would torture me with The Voice.
Oh, is that your guilty pleasure?
Well, I should explain that we also didn't have real TV and we only had NBC like through a digital antenna, and that was like the only TV channel we had. So The Voice wasn't terrible if that is your standard.
And I guess you literally can't change the channel. Then sure, watch The Voice.
Yeah, I hear they have that problem in prisons too, right? Like it's tuned to one channel, you know, all day.
Yeah.
Now, David, would you describe White River Junction as post-apocalyptic or neo-apocalyptic or just neo-depression era town?
I don't like the word neo in front of it, but it's a small, quiet town, and it's a good place to draw comics because there's not really anything to do besides drink beer and draw comics. So that's how I saw it.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, Season 2, Episode 6 of Buffy aired October 27th, 1997. So not quite 20 years ago today. And it was directed by, it looks like, Bruce Seth Green and written by Carl Ellsworth. All right. So we have a spooky and spectacular narrated intro that we'll play now.
It's just 2 days until Halloween. Buffy is celebrating with a pumpkin-themed vampire staking, while the stakee's compatriot tapes the whole thing on Hi-8 from the shadows. Buffy shows up to the Bronze, covered in vampire dust, and late for her date with Angel, only to find him chatting it up with Cordelia? Buffy turns to leave. The next day, Principal Snyder is once again foisting responsibility upon the students he likes least. This time it means that Buffy, Xander, and Willow will be escorting children for trick-or-treat. Buffy's not happy about this, but at least there won't be any vampires to worry about. It turns out they take the night off from meeting people on Halloween. Buffy's more worried about Angel. Does he like Cordelia? What kind of women is he into anyway? To solve this pressing question, Buffy and Willow pilfer the Watcher diaries from Giles' office and find a sketch of a noblewoman from Angel's heyday. She's beautiful, or at least as beautiful as a 200-year-old ink sketch can be. Our next scene finds the gang at the totally inconspicuous Ethan's costume shop. Xander will dress up as a soldier, and Willow will be a ghost. As for Buffy, well, the creepy guy in the costume shop talks her into buying a fancy, old-fashioned gown. That should get her 200-year-old boyfriend's attention. That night, the bad guys get their acts together. Spike is in the vampire factory, busily watching a high-8 highlights reel of Buffy's best fight moves, and the creepy guy from the costume shop is chanting over a statue with two faces. His spell takes effect while Sunnydale's children are out trick-or-treating. All in all, it spells trouble, with a capital T, which rhymes with D. D for demons. As in, children who are dressed up as demons start turning into demons. And it doesn't stop there. Xander's soldier costume turns him into a soldier. Willow's ghost costume turns her into a ghost. And Buffy's dress morphs her into an 18th century noblewoman, complete with outmoded attitudes about gender and class. With Duchess Buffy unable to take charge, Ghost Willow becomes the de facto leader of the group and manages to get the gang back to Buffy's house. But not for long. Xander runs off to rescue Catsuit Cordelia, and Noblewoman Buffy takes one look at Angel's vamp face and runs off into the night. To make matters worse, Spike decides that all this mayhem is too good to miss and takes to the streets in defiance of vampire tradition. He rounds up a gang of vampires and monster children and chases out after our gang. Willow kitty-prides through the walls of the library and lets Giles know all about the evening's problems. Commando Xander, Baroness Buffy, and Catsuit Cordelia. Wait, Catsuit Cordelia? She didn't turn into a cat. It must be that she didn't get her costume at Ethan's. They immediately head for the costume shop. It turns out that Giles actually knows Ethan from back in the day and also knows how to punch his lights out. He forces Ethan to break the spell just in time for Buffy to defeat Spike and walk his minions, who are now kids again, back home. Once the actions died down, Buffy admits that she chose her costume to try to impress Angel, but Angel says he's not into that sort of thing. What's his type now? Blonde high schooler is approximately 1/16th his age.
Okay.
Ooh, that gave me the shivers.
Don't say the shivers, never the shivers.
Thanks for doing that, John. That was really great. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
let's get into talk about this episode. So, Dennis, right away, Snyder's got a weird approach to punishment and makes unresponsible kids take on responsibility.
Yeah, I think in Snyder's first episode, you pointed that out, that Snyder has TV punishments for people. Yeah. But just the thing of it, he thinks Buffy is like a juvenile delinquent. Therefore, putting her in charge of children.
Yeah, that was the episode with the puppet master, or the little puppet character, right? Where they weren't put in charge of running the talent show, or Giles was. It's awesome, yeah, screenwriter punishments. Really appreciate that stuff. But it was also really cute to see how this one played out with them taking care of the kids. Like how.
Yeah, it is nice to see. Xander is like surprisingly responsible with surprisingly good with kids. I wouldn't have thought that was in his character, but
yeah, his speech to the kids about how they're going to get candy is adorable. That's a little later, but that made me smile. John, you have a comment here. Xander is an asshole.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we need to dig into this anymore than we have, but like the bully character, Larry, like, He's established to be a bad guy later, but he walks up and basically says hi to Xander. And Xander, I don't forget what Xander says, but it's basically,
he says,
fuck,
hey, Lair, looking Cro-Mag as usual.
Yeah.
Cro-Mag, yeah.
So he just says hi, and Xander immediately gives him a horrible insult. And then surprised later when the guy, like, treats him badly.
Yeah. Oh, that scene also, I mean, Buffy beats up Larry, like, in front of everybody. Like, so at this point in the show, Buffy has no secret identity within most of the school. Like, she's beating up the bullies, like, everybody knows, right?
She's fast.
That's like the wind.
Also, I wanted there was a lot of so Xander pays for a soda, Buffy gets the soda, and then later in that scene Willow is drinking it, so that was like a lot of soda stealing in one scene. You know, false, maybe that's good prop work, I don't know. It was all product placement.
Yeah, I mean, the color of the can, it's some good prop work. But I guess it's upsetting that it's never addressed that Xander paid for the soda and Buffy just simply got the soda. Like, that's not addressed in the episode, but I think it's a minor point.
Yeah, and well, in the Reptile Boy episode, I think like Xander gets his soda stolen by Willow. Also, like it's a recurring thing in the cafeteria of like food swapping going on.
Yeah, they're always swapping food. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. I love it. Yeah.
Buffy rescuing Xander from a bully is kind of a funny scenario to have play out. I mean, of course, it plays out later. Like, there's a meaning to it, but like that. I guess it was like, I don't feel like that would humiliate me as much as it humiliates Xander. And so this felt like a totally made up writer problem to have.
Yeah, totally. And also Buffy's big issue this episode feels like a made up problem. Like she's upset about not being girly enough or like not, you know, being feminine enough, I guess. And like Angel clearly doesn't seem to care. Like, so her whole motivation like doesn't like, yeah, it's just a totally made up like thing in her head. And also,
in
like,
fairness, though, it's like we all have to make up what Angel may or may not desire because he sure as hell isn't like expressing it in any way.
That's true. I also like it,
Yeah.
I was just gonna say, like what Dennis was saying, that's a weird non-problem that like Buffy says that she looked terrible at the date, and Will's like, "Well, did Angel mind?" And she's like, "No." And so it's like, so what, like, it doesn't really matter, like you said.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's all.
And later on, after they steal the notebook and are looking at, they're getting really worked up about, like, not looking like this drawing. And it's like, they're treating this drawing like it's a photograph, but it's like a doodle that a watcher made of, like, a pretty girl. Like...
I like that a little bit because it's such an absurd thing to try and compare herself to.
Yeah.
Like my comment here was like, basically Buffy's trying to dress up as Angel's first boner. And if my wife looked through a journal and I had a little drawing, it would undoubtedly have been like April O'Neil or something. Like whatever my like 12-year-old, 13-year-old obsession was at the time. Like, I don't think that should be what you're like going for to dress up.
Does your wife in fact own a yellow jumpsuit?
Sadly, that might be TMI.
No, I mean, I should add that in list when we conduct our next scene. Scene that is a byword for in role playing communities. Anyway, you're welcome. And I'm gonna cut that part out.
What? That's the first part that's made sense. I know you guys think it's a made up thing, but I mean, as Cordelia says in season 2, episode 1, get over yourself. I don't know. It's just kind of like a relationship. This is like a typical relationship thing where one person is hung up on some problem that's not a problem, except it's a problem to them. I mean, that's just a classic real life relationship trope or just real life relationship problem. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't mind it too much.
Good rom com fuel. To do something like that, right?
It's real life too, but
yeah, it. This episode seems to like have more rom com issues than a normal Buffy issue episode.
One more noticing rack one. I like that vampires don't go to Halloween, like that the undead in general avoid it. I thought that was a really cool thing because I think usually media treats Halloween as the opposite.
So yeah,
that was really cool.
Yeah, I like that too.
Michael finally likes something about a Buffy episode.
Are we keeping track of that? This episode was so much fun. When everybody when everybody becomes their costumes, that stuff was so ridiculous. I like the broken logic of that. That was really fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of logic to analyze later. One thing I've been thinking about after watching season 2 is like, I think most vampires are really bad at using tools. Like, you know, in the in School Hard, they think about just tearing the doors down with their hands. Like, only Spike is like, use the axe, idiot. Like, and in this one, it's like this major thing that that Spike tells one of them to use a camera, you know, and he obviously didn't charge the batteries. Like, they're just bad at it.
They dig up the master's bones with their hands. That was their plan there. Like, and it's hard because the earth is consecrated, but also because digging someone up with your hands would be really hard.
It just like, it never occurs to vampires to use a tool first. Like, that's always.
I would love to see a sideshow called Vampire Contractors, where someone hires a dozen vampires to build something, and they show up with like just wearing t-shirts, and they're like, "Whoa, this is a big contract, guys."
Well, I think it would be bad for the neighbors because they'd be working at night all the time and like it would make a bunch of noise. So, you know.
And also, like, if they're building something with wood, that's like the one thing they're afraid of.
It's all these casualties, all these casualties.
If they get a splinter in their chest, does that count as a stake or is that?
Like, if it gets pushed all the way to the heart. That would suck.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like the whole concept of the vampire is that the demon inhabits the body of the human, so the human soul's gone. So it's like the canon is the demon just really stupid, and that's what makes Spike really like an interesting character because he's so much smarter, and that's what made, you know, Angel a really interesting vampire because he was so much smarter than the average demon. Maybe that's what there's. I don't think they have it that fleshed out. I'm saying,
yeah, this is just me observing stuff for the first time this rewatch.
All the other vampires are stupid in this series, except for just a very few.
Yeah, I'd argue at least Angel at this point is stupid also, but
not stupid.
I don't see how Spike can maintain his level of intelligence. He has no one smart to talk to. His girlfriend Drusilla is a crazy person who has visions, and he has
But he really enjoys talking to her. He gets to say eyeballs to entrails, like that's super fun. That's something he wouldn't have said normally.
So moving on to Act 2 here, John, you have a funny comment about the factory.
Well, I mean, I think we've mentioned it before. So this factory, I think, is the same factory that Spike took over from the Anointed One. And this factory, I really want to know what they made there. Because, like, it had this, like, cage on a winch. And now it has ceiling-mounted TVs. So I'm just trying to understand what this place is. Yeah. That's all.
Well, ceiling-mounted TVs, those are useful in any factory. You know, whether you're teaching people how to use tools in the factory or entertaining workers doing monotonous tasks.
I suppose so.
I have no idea. The little cages are creepy. That's like something for livestock, you'd think. Like, there's no other reason to have a cage except something could get out of it, right?
Yeah.
It's probably, my guess is for, you know, murdering cows or something. Can we infer from the Janus statues that Janus literally exists?
I think so. Earlier he's praying to Chaos, but then is Chaos the same thing as Janus in this? Or was the Chaos thing kind of random?
He prays to the Janus statue and then it actually works. So it makes it seem like Janus is a real entity. But is Zeus a real entity in the Buffy universe? Can we infer that like Poseidon is rolling around?
I think Giles does call Janus a Roman mythical god, and mythical would imply not real. But yeah, I'd say, like, there are multiple, like, if there's demons, then there's gods, right?
At least some of them, right?
When Star Trek, Apollo was a real god.
I'm not going to go in with you on this. I'm not going to predict that there are going to be more Roman gods featured. I think this is a one-off.
You're not predicting there will be. Are you predicting there will not be?
No, Roman gods. That's what I'm predicting.
No Roman gods will appear. Got it.
Well, it's a statue glowing. That's not a god appearance, okay?
I know.
A powerful spell that worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say proof's in the pudding. The pudding was real.
Yeah. There's a lot of pudding. Pudding all over Sunnydale.
Yeah, but that pudding can, you know, wasn't like a living manifestation of a god, so... No, it's not a thing. It's just another unexplained supernatural event.
Would Janus pudding be two flavors, though, because of the two-sided?
Totally. It would totally be a choco vanilla. It'd be a choco vanilla situation.
I prefer vanilla strawberry. That'd be a good...
This whole Janus foods line, I feel like there's a lot there.
That's Janus Dunkaroos.
Janus snacks for kids. Get the sweet.
Wait, Dennis, you went straight to Dunkaroos? That was your first example of a food?
Isn't Dunkaroos a pudding?
That was era appropriate.
Oh, I guess so, yeah.
I thought of Dunkaroos as a pudding.
It was not a pudding. That was an icing. It was a cookie and icing. It's not pudding. If you were eating Dunkaroos pudding, you would be dead, my friend. You would be straight up dead.
Dennis has gone full 90s.
To the max, guys. I'm 90s to the max.
Crack open that bottle of Orbitz. I know you still got hanging around.
Of course, the rules for how costumes affect people are wildly consistent, says John. This could be Ethan doing on purpose, or perhaps each person's expectations have an impact about costumes.
Yeah, Ethan's motivation is also does he know that Buffy is the Slayer, or does he act like that to every customer, right?
Yeah, I don't know. He's very excited to get her in that dress.
Yeah.
Expensive dress.
I'm quite motivated. Yoder and I had a whole riff on Friday. We were talking about how the rules of this universe works. Like, because Xander is shooting people, right? So let's assume he hit some people.
Oh, right? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, let's say he hit a kid who was a vampire. So as a vampire, he wouldn't die, right? But he still has the bullets in him. But presumably the bullets disappear at about the same time he becomes human again. But does he still have like a gaping hole in his body, or does that heal up also? We had others. Yoder, go for it.
Well, I think I was mainly, what did I say? I don't even remember. But
you're talking about if a kid was in a Transformer costume. Yeah,
like if a kid was like really into being a demon, and then he gets snaps out of it. And then, like, what if he's still into, like, demon mode and he's, like, biting on Xander or something and, like, then has this desire to, like, re-enter that world of being the demon he once was? I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of traumatized kids because, like, they all remember it at the end.
Yeah, they've specifically stated in this that Buffy and Xander remember everything, so which means, like, everybody else does also.
So, definite prediction. This is going to come back because there's no way if everybody remembers, and they said everybody remembers so clearly at the end, though.
So be specific.
There will be consequences.
People remember that this happened. There will probably be another Ethan Rain episode where this will get brought up again in some way, and I don't know how yet. And let me get back to you in an hour when we're done talking.
I would wonder, like, you know, people react to Halloween as they do anyway. It's like, if you lived in that town and, like, kids actually became demons, you know, and that was, like, a known thing for that night on Halloween, what would happen next year on Halloween? Like, would you just cancel it? Or, like, you know?
they just feel like, we roll the dice, we take our chances. And, I mean, this is the whole town having kind of the effects of the pack, where they, like, remember this terrible thing happening. But unless they were around Buffy at the time, they don't know the motivation for any of it, right? So they're just like, maybe like 10 years later, all these kids are like, hey, remember when we all became demons and we like tried to eat people? Like, yeah, we'll just did we talk about that? Or
no, it would get a spooky name like the Halloween incident or something, right? Like
all
the paranormal things that have happened in U.S. history that we don't understand. It's just like name of place plus incident, Sunnyvale incident. So I thought Willow was wearing the peak of 90s fashion. So it was very
Willow's got abs.
She's showing her belly. She's got a choker. She has styled hair. She's like a 90s goddess. It's awesome.
Totes.
Also, I just general comment about, like, I was surprised that a mask was enough of a costume to transform people, but I guess that's no shock to anybody.
Well, I have a question with that. Like, Xander explicitly says that he buys the gun at the store, but he bought his army fatigues that at like a swap meet or whatever, like a Salvation Army. Why does that work? Like, why does his entire brain go to being an army guy?
I think because he was holding the gun at the time. I mean, that's just some super magic mumbo jumbo.
But not only army guys hold guns. I mean, I don't know.
I think that Ethan Rain has specifically cursed each object with a specific meaning.
That
explains the inconsistencies between how it affects different people, like how Willow has a memory but no one else does, right? I think that Ethan Rain has gone through and imbued each thing in the costume shop with a specific thing that it does to you, and then he goes and puts all that out into a town and then hopes for the worst.
Yeah. Also, can we talk about that he named his store Ethan's Costume Shop?
Yeah, he's not.
Totally great name for a pop-up Halloween store. Definitely all the kids would go to that one over Party Town or whatever.
Oh, yeah. It's totally Party Town.
let's try this new place, Ethan's. It's got great costumes. I mean, the ads would be terrible. Yeah.
Hello, I'm Ethan. Come by my store.
It'll change you forever.
Based on my experience with Halloween stores, the organization level of Ethan's and the creepiness of the clerks is reasonably accurate. I don't think that it's too far off what actual Halloween stores are like.
But they're usually not called Ethan's. They're called like...
No, you know. They're called Halloween Land or something stupid.
Yeah.
I love the fact that this is the... They don't talk about this really that much, but Willow friggin' died in this episode.
That's true.
Like she had the weird experience of dying and yet experiencing that, and like and she's like pretty unfazed. I mean, Willow's amazing, but like no one has
she's tough.
Like, she's not going to counseling after being like, you know, like I can't breathe.
I do love how she gets to her being a ghost so quickly, and there's that scene where she surprises Giles and he just loses it. That's fun. I love Willow as a ghost. She's great at it.
Yeah. I mean, she really takes, like, this episode is about her taking charge of the gang and, like, showing she's calm and cool.
Is that girl?
Okay, so since you mentioned that, the Oz scene with Cordelia, I think, is, like, a real, like, that's, like, Oz is charming in that scene. You're like, oh, this is, like, a likable character, right? And then as soon as, like, and then the scene where he's just like, who is that girl, is, like, back to terrible Oz acting. Like,
but he also, band, so.
As John pointed out, that's that crazy. he's only met Willow in costume so far. Like, that's a funny recurring gag.
Well, they go to the same school.
Yeah.
One grade ahead of her.
You don't know
every
that.
Time we've seen him see her, and he is like, act surprised every time, like he's never seen her before. He's like, who's that girl? And she's always in a costume. It's happened three times.
Maybe so he has, like,
I think that
blindness.
The story of Oz is that he has like a generalized costume fetish, and that's his
thing. That's how he gets into
like, logic disorder where he can't see faces.
I feel like he has a lot more of those who's that girl moments. Like, and we're just catching the ones that relate to Willow. Yeah.
He's doing that to every, like, on Halloween, he's just like everybody who's in a costume. Oh. Like, who is that?
And he's not even talking to anybody else. He's to himself monologuing. Like, that's a pretty powerful response.
Yeah. I like this idea if he has a lot of those moments. Like, he sees, like, a homeless woman and he's like, who's that girl?
Who's that woman? Like, who's that teacher? It's
like, Oz, we've had this teacher all year.
Who's this drive-thru attendant? Cha-ching!
Whoa, full circle.
So, John, you're asking here, what era location is Buffy from?
Yeah, I'm just curious. I mean, I don't think it's a problem, really, but, like, Buffy acts like a weird, non-specific stereotype of a costume drama lady. I don't know who she's supposed to be. Like,
she says 1775, but other than...
Oh, wow, she does?
Yep.
Yeah.
Why miss that? Diaries.
Yeah,
but she speaks like when she's Buffy, she says like hello or whatever in a southern accent, and then when she's the noble lady, I don't know what accent it is. Do you know?
What I like about the way that she portrays this, the way that she portrays this character that I like is it's actually kind of great because it's what she thinks this person should be like, not like what a writer would actually say. Okay, this is how this person's going to talk and this and that. It's like Sarah Michelle Gellar came up with this, and it's kind of like this. It's just, you know, it's not historically accurate because she's a teenager working full-time on a TV show, and she doesn't have Wikipedia. She doesn't have
time. I'm sure this dialogue was written by a writer, Travis.
No, it was written, but all the intonations. Like the mannerisms and the intonations, it seems are not, none of it's like.
Oh, yeah, I think she accents. Picks her dialogue and stuff.
No,
I mean,
think
her
accents. Yeah, I
dialect.
Think
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the way it plays out is that it's like, this is great. Buffy's conception of what this kind exactly. of a movie would be like. And similarly with Xander, like, this is Xander's really stereotyped cartoonish idea of what a soldier's like, right? Yeah, totally.
Right. Although I think soldier Xander, like, is more like more competent with like more accepting of like a woman's power than real Xander is, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's seen some shit, so
yeah. You think? Yeah, you think he's a war vet?
He's definitely seen something. I feel like I mean, yeah, we can get into the, I think we have some questions about the costume stuff changes, because that's clearly like all story driven, like character driven stuff for those transformations. John, you're saying here, Mrs. Summers, she's good. Ms. Summers, good. She's gone.
Just that, like, once again, Joyce is unknown. We don't know where she is. And also that Willow is like relieved she's not home, which I think is troubling on a couple of levels. Cause if she's not at home, that means she's out in the world where all this is happening.
So that's not
reassuring. And also, like, I don't know. Isn't there anything left in Willow that like trusts adults to take care of her? I guess not.
And I think it's more the relief of like, I don't have to explain to Joyce why her daughter thinks she's like a 18th century noblewoman.
Right. Right. Yeah.
This show doesn't care where Joyce is. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It didn't even write an explanation. It just, but in her house, I also want to talk when they're like barricading the house and the fact that they like barricade the front door and leave the back door just like totally exposed. Like, that is bad soldiering. That's bad watching your perimeters, Andrew.
John says the hairy monster is awesome.
Yep, that's it. That hairy monster.
JoJo, the dog face boy.
Yeah, dog face boy. That's one of my favorite Buffy monsters so far. You only see it for about I'm sure it's just from a prop shop. I'm sure it's not like specifically made, but it's really good.
Yeah, it's totally good. I think it might be a werewolf. I wrote that down in the notes.
It's like a Sasquatch werewolf or something.
Yeah.
And then John, Giles throws up the catalog cards. Is that a Ghostbusters reference?
Because a ghost comes in and then the catalog cards go everywhere. Just like in the first scene in Ghostbusters. That's all.
Yes.
The end.
I think you make sense.
And it's also like showing this is Giles, like the whole thing of him doing card cataloging on a Saturday night or whatever. Like,
right.
Oh, what a dweeb.
Well, he has interests. He has hobbies.
That's how easy it was to steal his diary, right? Or whatever, his Watcher diaries.
With the costumes, I did a rewatch and like the kids that I think it's Buffy's looking after, there's like a Dracula girl or something, vampire girl, and another girl. But there's this kid in the middle that's like in a weird like brown like potato head thing. Did you guys see that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What was that? And also like, what if he transformed? Like if he got his costume from Ethan's, what would he be? It was just a weird brown circle with giant eyes with big eyelashes. And it was so weird.
Yeah, if you have a shitty costume that's like a half-formed idea, what happens to you?
From Ethan's, yeah.
But apparently if you make your own costume and then buy the hat at Ethan's, you're still going to transform into the costume that you made or something.
Well, Ethan wouldn't sell just a potato bag, right? He'd sell something more substantial.
Oh my God, is Cordelia an actual feline?
Angel is fighting a vampire in Buffy's mom's house. So how did that vampire get in? I mean, just like, I guess if it's a vampire from Ethan's shop, then it doesn't have to obey the normal rules of vampirism. But then why would it have like a vampire face? I think it would have been cooler if they looked like more classic Draculas or something, just to have a variety and to be able to tell the difference between real vampires and costume vampires.
That was a super weird inconsistency that I don't understand.
And I don't know if this joke has been made before, but like he asked for a steak, and like Buffy is this 1800s lady, whatever, and like she grabs a knife for him. But like I'm surprised she wasn't like, "You're hungry now," or like, you know, because like why would she know what he was talking about? Steak.
There was a good joke opportunity totally lost there. Said. He turns into a vampire, she screams, right? Yeah, you're totally right. I was expecting a gag, too.
Right, and apparently her, like, 1776 lady knows what a vampire is, because that's what she says the Angel is later.
Well, why wouldn't you know what a vampire is?
I don't know, I just think
they're more scary in the past, right? Well, anyways, David,
People were out, like, digging up bodies to make sure they weren't vampires and staking corpses and stuff, like, in our world. So I'm sure in the world of Buffy, like,
it's even more extreme.
Dennis, I want you to write a history book because this is way more interesting than I thought. It's like these tireless humans, like, someone dies, they have to stake him. I missed that part of the Oregon Trail. I wish they'd add that.
Well, like, in Windsor, Vermont, there's like a famous vampire staking that happened like around that time period. Yeah, it happened. People were afraid of vampires as a disease.
Okay, I rescind. I'm sorry.
Okay, but they weren't scared of Frankenstein's, though. That's a made-up science thing.
And also, Frankenstein didn't appear till like the late 1800s, so wouldn't have even been a danger at this point.
So what I will say, David, if you want to watch Angel Season 1, you'll get your wish involving a steak joke.
Okay.
And it's great.
Yeah, just watch 14 hours of television, dude. You'll get that.
You'll get that one joke you're looking for.
Episode. Okay, I know which episode. We can talk about which episode the steak joke is in later.
It's not spoilers because it's Season 1. That's
also just an episode name. It's actually a Dynamite episode because it contains a really famous actor from our times now. Oh, he wasn't famous when they made the episode of Angel. So anyways. All right. Back to Buffy. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah. So John, you're saying Ethan wasn't lying low. So.
Oh yeah. Just that he put his name on the outside of the store. That's all. And like he makes no effort to not be creepy.
Yeah. No, none at all. I guess when you're just like an agent of chaos, you don't necessarily need motivation, but like like what is his plan? Like, is it just to get beat up by Giles? Like,
by the way, he sells costumes. This is going to ruin his business, right?
I assume it's just a pop-up shop, right?
It'd be great if the next episode, it's like, it's Ethan's 2 opens like across the street and it's like, Giles will never find me. You know, like, he's like that subtle about like,
so I have another Ethan comment here. Like, so what's the deal with Ethan and Giles? So they have a whole exchange that alludes to so much BS and it's totally unfollowable and I don't know how much is valuable. So yeah, Jack the
Ripper. It's all valuable, dude.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's cool that
thank you.
Okay, sorry. I just think it's cool that like this is establishing like Giles has a secret past. This is like he's not just the stuffy guy we've been led to believe, which actually, Mike, you kind of predicted a little in like the witch episode in Season 1. You were like, Giles is way tougher or like a way more dangerous guy than like anyone's giving him credit for or whatever. So right. This is like so beginning
it was,
that.
It was cool to see him like punch out Ethan like pretty spectacularly. Like it was definitely like, there's also though this difference in fight choreography from Season 1 to Season 2. Like they up their game so much that like part of it is that, but it was also like, yeah, clearly something's up with Giles. He's got a past. I can't imagine what the Ethan Giles thing is. And one of my predictions is like, basically, Ethan is like the Joker of the Buffyverse to Giles being, I guess, kind of like a, you know, an Alfred-ish character. And you know,
but like the badass, Alfred, like Jeremy Irons Alfred, right?
Yeah, totally.
I think the Giles stuff is just a back door pilot for Rupert the Ripper. It's going to be on Falls or TV next year. You know,
it's a really long con to make a really long setup.
What's the Jack the Ripper? So it's implied that Giles is Jack the Ripper. Is that really what was implied?
I think it's just a name.
Insane name.
Okay.
Although I like that read that this whole time Giles is some incarnation of Jack the Ripper. That's Jack a really
like great 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 grandson.
Or he's immortal. He's secretly immortal, and is like, I haven't slaughtered prostitutes in a long time. That's not who I am anymore.
The Star Trek original series episode "Wolf in the Fold." You know that Jack the Ripper is like can inhabit different people.
Oh my God! Because there's a Grimm episode about Jack the Ripper. And it's got some similar mythology.
Every sci-fi universe has to deal with the existence of Jack the Ripper.
That's the thing. There is that TV show Time After Time is getting made now.
That's H.G. Wells versus the Ripper in the 21st century.
Wait, did you say they're remaking that?
It's a TV show now.
Oh, they're making it into it. Oh, that movie is awesome.
Now it can be a not awesome TV show.
Yeah, I don't think Malcolm McDowell is so perfect. I don't want to see anybody else do it.
Well, what if it was a police procedural? I don't know if that's what the show is, but
yeah,
I assume every modern show is a police procedural. So,
didn't the Next Generation have a Jack the Ripper episode where they go back in time?
No,
they have Moriarty.
Yeah. How many thousands of years later is Star Trek than Jack the Ripper? Do they really have to figure that stuff out?
They have a couple episodes where they go back in time using the holodeck, and I never quite understood it.
It's not real. It's the holodeck.
No, it felt real.
Except Moriarty is real.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What was the movie
you did? So, David, I want to ask you a question. So you've seen season one, and now you're seeing season two. When would you have preferred for the show to get interesting, like season two? I'm sort of skipping ahead because we're talking about how Giles is now a lot more interesting.
I actually just watched this episode. I've just been like listening to your guys' podcast I haven't been doing a good rewatch now.
I mean, would you prefer the incredibly slow burn, Giles being incredibly dull for all these episodes, or would you want this episode to be like episode three or four of the whole series?
I think I'm good with how Giles was established first, and then to have like just be like, oh, there's something more going on with this Giles guy.
Okay, I was just curious. Some people would want less of the lead up. Some people maybe would want more lead up, but.
I think it would be confusing because, like, you need to really establish Giles as this bookworm guy that, mm-hmm. like, is all about this stuff, and he's so much exposition for Buffy as well, that, like, to then throw in, like, oh, and also I'm quite bad at beating people up, you know, that would just be maybe a little confusing.
Yeah. So we're moving on now to questions for the group. Question here, maybe this doesn't need to be a group question, but, like, why doesn't Cordelia transform besides there's got to be another reason besides the costume shop, right? Or is that?
No, that's it. Totally addressed. It's because of the costume shop. That's like a plot point.
All right, fine. I accept.
I think the real question is, how much did Mike want to see like a cat Cordelia?
100%, 145%.
Yeah.
Very disappointed in that choice. It could have been done easily. And they made a mistake.
It is weird how much it was exploiting her in a skin-tight cat outfit, but also not in a way. I don't know. It's like it gets shredded, and she talks about how it's like so tight, but it looks pretty tame to me. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. There's not... Well, the show doesn't ever, like... It talks about it, but the camera never actually male gazes her, right? Like, it doesn't have, like, a full body zoom or anything, really.
Belly shots are the cleavage of the 90s, as we all know, right?
Yeah, we got a lot of belly this episode.
Yeah.
Also, in the 1990s, we got a movie called Belly, so...
So, group question. What was the last Halloween costume you wore, and what would you have become?
Oh, the last.
The last.
Interesting. This Halloween, I just put on like some, I just made up some monster makeup where it was like a half green monster face. It didn't really have like, it wasn't really a established thing. It was just like
you didn't go to Ethan's then. Okay.
I didn't go to Ethan's, but I did wear a bowler that I bought at a costume shop a year before. So that could have been cursed. I could have been whatever that thing was.
Yeah. 19th century Dennis.
Yeah. The year before that, I dressed as Captain Haddock from Tintin. That would have been cool to have become an alcoholic sailor.
Oh, God. Speaking of which, there was that stupid pirate. Pirates always look great. Yeah. Anyway, Buffy pirate thing.
Yeah. Yeah, they put a lot of detail into his teeth, but not the rest of his costume.
It's all in the teeth, totally. That must be all he got from Ethan's.
They ran out of budget, maybe.
Well, I dressed as a pepper shaker the last Halloween. I dressed up. So I assume I would.
Was this a couple's costume, or was it just you as a pepper shaker by yourself?
Obviously, it was a salt and pepper costume. I would have been inanimate pepper, I suppose, for Halloween, which would have been terrible.
That would be a good to try to meet somebody like dressed as pepper and just be the whole night looking for salt. No, that wouldn't have been good. Sorry,
that's a good one-liner. That's great, Dennis. You should write that. That's
I think it'd be great if you were Pepper and your date was Angelina Jolie. That's what you should do.
Oh, right, because she was in a movie called Salt. That's great.
It would be better if it was a Salt and Slug paired costume. That would be
great. Oh, yeah.
But an unhealthy relationship.
That is an awesome costume.
Yoder, what did you dress as?
A couple years ago, I think I had an orange shirt that was kind of fading out. So I cut out like a pumpkin jack-o'-lantern face and wore a black shirt underneath. And I was just like a giant pumpkin. So that's, I guess, what I would be was the last time.
There was one year you didn't wear it as a Halloween costume necessarily, but we got a randomly gifted to us Ralph the dog costume that I forced you to wear a couple times.
It wasn't random. It was I got it by wearing it out on a porch in the hot summer of Vermont. That a couple of our friends had, and they were getting rid of it in a yard sale.
But they had it because they were randomly given it to them by like a stranger in the park one day. And it was this like gross smelly handmade Ralph the dog costume.
Yeah. I kept the head for a while. I don't think I even still have the head because it got pretty gnarly.
Are you saying Ralph, like the Sesame Street character, or Ralph?
Ralph.
Yeah. Ralph, the Muppet Show.
Muppet Show. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm imagining the big dog from Sesame Street, but that's not it.
I'm imagining the grocery store. So
that's Barkley. As a matter of fact, the big dog is called Barkley.
What? Not Ralph?
No, Ralph is from the Muppets. Ralph.
Yeah, no, and he predates.
Store. It's got everything. It's Ralph's. It's right down the street. Let's go to Ralph's.
Barkley's a good dog name. What about you, Travis? When's the last time you did Halloween?
I can actually say I have no recollection of dressing up for Halloween. I have no
ever.
I never did. I can't remember any costume, to be honest.
You're safe, you son of a bitch.
I just never did it. I don't know why.
I don't know. I think in this scenario, like the inanimate costumes of being a salt shaker or a pumpkin are the best way to go, because all the chaos would happen around you, and then you just turn back into a person at the end.
But what if you're a pumpkin and you get like smashed?
Yeah,
yeah, I'd be worried about that.
Yeah, but then all the kids
become into a carriage.
All the pumpkins, the kids have become demons, right? So like they're no longer interested in doing adolescent bullshit. So maybe you're safe.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's gonna mess with a salt shaker in any case. I think that's pretty safe.
I don't know. What if somebody uses you and then when you're missing some of your bits when you come back?
Oh yeah, I guess that's a good point. Oh, that's scary.
John, did you answer the question? What did you dress up as last?
My last Halloween costume was I went to a Halloween party dressed as a specific palindrome.
Oh, that's right.
Say no more. No.
So
That's the most John thing I've ever heard.
So you know the palindrome? There's a classic palindrome that goes, "Go hang a salami, I'm a lasagna hog." So I wore a pig nose and a like a Stouffer's lasagna box around my neck, and I had a salami on a coat hanger because I like explaining my costume to people.
Yeah, I was going to say, when did you get tired of explaining that to people?
Never. Yeah. Freshman year of high school, John and I went trick-or-treating, which is like way too old for that, but we did it.
Yeah.
And John dressed as the feeling he gets when he thinks of the word Tuesday.
Yeah, as Tuesday. Yeah, my personal associations with Tuesday.
So nothing.
I wore a yellow shirt because Tuesday is yellow.
It sounds like the Weezer of costumes, man. It's just
so I don't know what I would have turned into.
Tuesday.
Yeah, you would have just disappeared until next Tuesday.
It'd be funny if, no, you just look the same, but you're convinced that you're Tuesday, and, like, everyone's like, what are you?
I mean, that's not unlike what the Halloween was like. I mean, I think this is a ongoing thing with me, where I, like, dress up as things that I have to explain to people, because I think it's clever, but then it's not fun actually explaining it to people. And I'm realizing I haven't learned this lesson.
No, so it's not clever unless someone can clearly understand it. I'm learning this as an adult, and I've also struggled with costumes. I've dressed as I dressed as a trust fund kid, which I thought would be really funny. No one understood it. Like people need to clearly communicate it also. That like aspect of understanding comedy, right?
Where it's, well,
the audience needs to get the joke.
They would get it if you were a sexy trust fund kid or a sexy salami hog, whatever you said.
I often find out if the salami lasagna costume was really a hit.
No, it was not. It was a lot of people being like, huh? I thought for sure at least one person would get it and then they would really dig it. Cause then it's like,
and then that's how you find your new best friend.
That's like your glass slipper. That's like, oh, I'm carrying around this glass slipper, but here, can you try this on for me, please?
Right. Well, it's like the time I dressed up as the lead singer of the band Laibach. And nobody got it except one person who ran from like two blocks away to come be like, oh my God, are you Laibach? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, yeah, it was great.
That was for that awesome. One person.
Yeah, for that one person.
Who is that person?
Oh, I also last year got second place at the Rocky Horror Picture Show for my costume. I was just transgender alien. But I got the second place was a big bag of candy, so it was totally worth it. So that would have been an interesting
Giannis candy for me too.
Yeah, some Giannis candy.
I feel like there's a lot of room for a blog that's focused on these costumes that aren't clear things, right? And that would be a lot of fun if you saw the costume first and then had a guess, even a multiple choice guess, but what it might be.
Yeah.
It'd be like a clickbait costumes website or whatever.
Yeah, and then it could have like a rating of like the most guessed answer for this costume.
Oh my gosh. The title would be guess what they're dressed as. You won't believe it because you won't.
Number 8 will blow your mind.
It's all just pictures of John in all of his Halloween costumes. With a very lengthy explanation under each picture to explain.
I think it's like when I was little one time.
So sad, I can't even guess.
When I was little, I dressed up as a bird from outer space because like I had a bird mask and I like being a bird seemed lame, but like the bird was like a weird color. So I'm like, I'm a bird from outer space. And the thing was, I remember all these adults coming up to me and being like, are you an eagle? And I'd be like, ugh, no.
Obviously.
Oh, that must be the whole origin, John. You got so satisfied from getting adults frustrated.
I bet you had an eagle costume.
No, it was all homemade. It was like all made out of like paper, like construction paper. But people were like, are you an eagle? And like, no.
But now can't you look back and realize those adults were really just trying their best?
I do. And yet I clearly haven't learned my lesson because like I did it as a teenager and then I did it again as an adult.
I've had enough of these eye rolling teens. Or preteens. I get it for that. Anyway, I don't want to tell a story about that.
So, yeah. Were you bullied?
I wasn't curious before, but now I am.
I am bullied as an adult in my neighborhood because I live near a school, and I'll do my adult stuff, and I get bullied by kids. That's all.
Oh. What can you do?
What can you do?
They're protected. The actor who played Larry, by the way, his real name was Larry.
Oh my God! It's like he became his costume.
Yeah.
What if Larry was the one guy that didn't change back and he's just like a pirate going to high school now? Look for that in the background going forward in Buffy. That's all I have to say.
So going into themes here, everybody's costume reveal struggles their gender role. And this is John's comment, but I had something similar here. So everyone's costumes reveal struggles with gender roles and are each person's fantasies of becoming their opposite. So there's this thing about opposites here. So, you know, Willow is going to become sexy because that's the opposite of who she is.
Buffy, except she's like forced on that role by her friend. It's not her choice, which is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Buffy, you know, her opposite, I guess, is this womanly character that's not able to defend herself. Xander becomes a manly character.
Like, yeah, after his bullying incident, yeah.
Yeah.
And those it all connects.
We only really deal with those three characters. Nobody else transforms. Well, Charles doesn't go out that night.
Cordelia is like
those
a bit
kids were like, cat. Ah, we're too well behaved beforehand. It's like monsters.
So, yeah, kids are monsters, right?
That's what I've been saying all along.
They should all be put down.
So I was thinking, based on that, like if Halloween's about becoming what you're struggling with, what would you become?
A homeowner. I went and saw houses this weekend, by the way. It was interesting.
Congratulations. Thank you. How many did you look at?
Just two, but I'm going to look at two more this week during lunch with my realtor.
Congratulations, Dennis. That's a very adult thing to do. That's awesome.
It's a step. Yeah. Thank you.
Dennis, did you ask your realtor to only show you haunted houses?
I did say I wanted houses with character, and I assume that means haunted. Yes.
What are you struggling with that you would become? John?
Oh, a variation on Dennis's, probably just an adult.
Oh, that would be a great costume. So a respectful adult costume wearing a suit or something?
Yeah, something like that. Somebody who, I would become a walking to-do list, I guess.
Or you're like, I filed my taxes in February.
Actually, this year I did.
Oh, congrats. I have never not filed my taxes in April. So,
Actually, that's what I do every morning is I get up and I put on a tie and I go do a performance in front of children where I pretend to be an adult. So I'm pretty much, that's pretty much what this is. Yeah. Me coming my office.
All right, David, you're up next.
I don't know. I would be like a loud, confident person, I guess. So maybe Donald Trump or something. I don't know.
That's scary.
It'd be huge.
Yeah. Huge.
Yeah, I don't know what I would struggle with. I'd probably be like a person who's relaxed and can like is carefree. That's probably what my person. I'd probably be like some like surfer with the Uka Shell necklace and like it says bra. Hey bra, let's catch some waves, bra.
Wait, that's what you aspire to be?
That's his opposite.
My Halloween opposite.
But I think I'd like to see that. I think we should make that your first ever Halloween costume, Travis.
Yeah.
I feel like chillax and maybe halfway through I'd switch to a Jamaican accent and I wouldn't know why.
I think you should be Keanu Reeves from Point Break. I think
not a secret FBI agent. Just
just a surfer that smokes pot all day. That's all.
What if I pretended to be a Keanu Reeves lookalike?
That sounds like a John costume. You should definitely.
That sounds a little John-ish.
Keanu Reeves lookalike. Not even Keanu Reeves, but someone that looks like him. But
like, that's a fun idea, right? Because like, it's like a lookalike who's like always feeling the pressure to look, to be like Keanu. Because I don't know. I feel like a lookalike Keanu Reeves is under a lot more pressure than the real.
Sounds like a John costume.
I'd have to meet the real Keanu Reeves to really figure this one out. But yeah.
I think I would become a patient monk because I struggle with patience and impulsiveness and overscheduling my life. So a patient monk who has no schedule, also no sense of time.
What would that patient monk say to the kids that are bothering him, like, nearby?
He wouldn't even respond. He wouldn't even bother. Ugh, these stupid kids. I try to run every like three times a week.
These kids.
I get run, Forrest, run. I'm kids.
My name's not Forrest.
Yeah. Why are they making Forrest Gump references? That's so weird.
I'm kind of proud of those kids. They are making Forrest Gump references.
Yeah, well, they can't call you a retard in 2017. That's not appropriate. So Forrest Gump works, right? That's like
Forrest.
Because it's too uncool, but people still try and find ways to be mean, even without access to all of their terminology that they would normally have.
How old are these kids?
I don't know. They're middle school, so whatever that is.
Middle school. Okay.
12.
14, 15.
That's too old.
That's high school.
Also, why is Run, Forrest, Run like a derogatory statement? That was like the best part of that movie.
Because yeah, they're being encouraging, I think. They're telling you to keep going. Keep
Mike,
at it.
Why don't you just run the opposite direction runner of this school?
You know, Forrest Gump was an insane runner during that whole movie.
You're right. It's a compliment. And
I think maybe they're just like...
You should stop and thank those kids for their encouragement.
Or just ask if they've seen the movie, because I feel like they're just not making...
It's reference. Not... There's no conversation. You guys are thinking there's more going on.
No, I'm just saying, Mike, don't run the direction of the middle school. Just... take a different path.
I don't run, but I think if it was me, I would probably like just stop in my tracks, cry, and then walk home and like just be done with the run that day.
It's without fail they have to yell something at me when I run by. Yeah. It's either run, Forrest, run, or they just go, hey, it's that guy running, or hey, you, hey. You know, it's just something. They got to yell something.
You should, you know what you should do is you should get like a Forrest Gump t-shirt and go run by there just because they'll love it. It'll make their day. They'll tell the story for the rest of their lives.
Or you should wear a scary mask when you run by so they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Turn it into performance art. I think that's the solution. Yeah,
you love the Sasquatch. Wear a Sasquatch costume and run by.
That would be very popular.
I say just ignore them. Yeah.
That's obviously not the solution.
But Dennis, all of my friends are telling me to drop myself.
To have some sort of strange confrontation with children.
Nothing can go wrong.
To be a cool adult, put on that ghost costume and run by. You know, who would have thought? Holy
yeah. God, running. It's Portland. Anything can happen. See? Ghosts can run.
Yeah.
All right. I accept. Anything else from this episode? Let's see. Let's move on here. We're moving to predictions. I made some predictions from past episodes. John, can you bring these up?
Yeah. So I believe we have a confirmed prediction.
Whoa. Very good news.
Let me find it here for a second because I want to get the wording right. Hold on a second. Yes. So in season 1, episode 10, you predicted that there will be more supernatural children other than the anointed or Billy who has the nightmares. And I think that this constitutes supernatural children. So we can count that now as confirmed.
Okay. How exciting.
Is that the first one?
No.
But it's good to confirm one. We don't have any that were denied.
It was a good prediction.
Yeah, that's the predictions list if anybody wants to take a look. There's quite
I mean, most of the predictions are things that we can't deny until we've watched every episode. So I think on the last episode, your score is going to drop dramatically.
Yeah. Yeah, don't show up to that last episode, Buffy. No. Buffy cast.
What about the comic series? Does that count or is that out?
I think we're going to say no.
I just feel like that would be so... Nobody's reading it. It would be a lot of effort to read it.
Whereas watching a show requires limited effort.
Yeah.
All right.
And then your new predictions that I've been tallying so far. So in this episode so far, you have predicted that no Roman gods will ever appear on the show.
That's correct.
That people will remember... this Halloween episode, remember the events of the episode in the future, and that we will see Ethan Rain again.
Yes. Though I wish I could give a better prediction on the remember of Halloween. Like, yeah, they'll remember it. I don't know what the consequences of any will be. That part feels so unpredictable. I have no idea. All right. Thank you, John. I'm glad to have someone completely unbiased that doesn't care if I win or lose. We can practice
yes.
things. Because if I were running the show in predictions, I would be rewriting my predictions.
You have made about 38 predictions so far. It's actually more than that. I need to go back and listen to some old episodes and capture predictions that we missed.
Yeah, definitely. You should do that this week.
Yeah, comb those files.
Yes. You have made about 38 predictions.
All right, wonderful. Dennis, what's the kill count
in a row?
So we see one vampire get staked. I don't know what, so it's only one, but I don't know what happens to the vampire angel fights in the kitchen. I don't know if that's a kill or not. But I mean, there's just one confirmed kill, but there might've been some massacres we didn't see with the whole town going crazy.
Yeah. It's weird that everyone just slowly runs away at the end. Like when I rewatched the episode, I was very thrown off by the fact that Giles destroys a statue, has beaten up Ethan, and then just comes back the next morning and expects him to still be there or something. Like what?
Yeah. Ethan disappeared after he smashed the statue. Why does Ethan even tell the truth? Like is Giles beating really that bad that he's like, oh, my plan is completely foiled by you kicking me in the stomach. Anyway, unrelated.
One thing we forgot to talk about was how awesome it was to see like a videotapes in action. And how nostalgic and silly. I think it's more than silly because or nostalgic because it was like a lot easier to rewind a videotape dramatically than to rewind a DVD or like a, you know, it's like pause, rewind it, play it again. Like that's a lot more like fun than like clicking. I guess if they did it nowadays, he would have like just hit like a button to replay it on his iPhone or something.
It's well, like, you can do something dramatic with phones. You know, you can play it back and the battery can be low. That's pretty dramatic. You know, you don't have much time to find the clip.
Yeah.
stupid.
I don't know. It was actually funny because it was like mixed media. We didn't talk about it, but it was like mixed media. This episode, 16mm and VHS.
VHS?
I don't know. It felt like it could.
It's really a small camcorder. It's either VHS-C or it's or Hi8.
Yeah. I would have assumed it was Hi8.
Yeah. I think it's like legit. I think some of it is legit VHS footage.
I like the idea of Spike reviewing footage to get like better at fighting Buffy. That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That felt like an athlete.
He's so into it. Yeah.
Play it again.
So last thing here is recommendation. Any recommendations for other things to watch or read?
Yeah. So the genre of like people putting on costumes and becoming the costumes, I was actually having a hard time like thinking of more examples of that aren't like The Mask, you know? So I thought of Onibaba is like a great movie where there's a demon mask that may or may not make people demons. So that's my recommendation. I also threw kind of this is a loop to get to it, but Janus Films, which is like, you know, was a distributor of independent films and stuff. They put out Haxan, which is like this great 1920s, like quote unquote documentary about like witches. And since Ethan Rain is kind of a man witch, I'd recommend that. Haxan, really good. Like a silent era. Yeah. What's up?
I'm so surprised you didn't bring up Halloween 3. Is that too mainstream to be a Dennis
Silver
prediction?
Shamrock,
yeah. No, it's not too mainstream. I just didn't think the kids don't become monsters. They just, their face melts.
Right.
It didn't connect.
But there's the evil Halloween story, I guess, is part of it.
That's true. I didn't think about that. Yeah. Yeah, Halloween 3. I also recommend Halloween 3. Totally an underrated Halloween movie.
I think
Yoder has some recommendations.
I had one, I guess, for a movie that is similar of dealing with people where they're not what they seem sort of thing. I don't know. I just saw Get Out the previous week, and it was a really good horror movie where, you know, it's tense, you think, for one reason, and then things kind of amp up from there. It's also a movie that I did review on my website in comic form at davidanddavid@themovies.wordpress.com. Check that out.
Yeah, check out his movie reviews. And you were also going to recommend like TV shows, right?
I didn't really think of any for that.
All right, never mind that part then.
Sorry. Watch How I Met Your Mother with the hanging Chad, and he's looking for the slutty pumpkin. That's a Halloween episode.
Featuring Allison Hannigan from Buffy.
Oh, I don't get that connection that you're making.
What?
Kid Chameleon for Sega Genesis. You change costumes when you take find mask power ups.
Oh, nice!
Ooh, a video game recommendation.
But I'm not recommending it. It's a terrible game. It hasn't aged well.
Super Mario. Super Mario 3 has the infamous outfits. Frog as well.
Tanuki suit.
Yeah, Tanuki suit. There's
I recommend
the comic,
playing Halloween 3 while you play Nintendo.
There's the comic Battling Boy by Paul Pope. The kid puts on shirts that have different powers on them. So he puts on like a T-Rex shirt and then he gets like T-Rex kicks. It's a good comic.
I like the double recommendation though, right? You recommend a movie and then something to do while you're watching the movie. Cause like, oh yeah. And then there's this Infinite Runner where you have costumes. So yeah. Well, cool. Thank you very much everybody for being on the show. We'll do this again next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Okay.
Thanks for having me on.